Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Happy Project Podcast, the global event of the year. Coming live from Seoul, 2020.
Which is not where the Olympics are being held.
Which is also not the year the Olympics are being held. Touché. It's Tokyo 2020 for this year, which really threw me off when I was looking this up because I was like, 2020? That's not the Olympics. It's a little odd, but they pushed it off, as you know, to this year.
A little branding issue there.
Yeah.
My guess is they probably printed all their marketing materials and stuff, and they were just like, we're just going to use it and keep it 2020.
Fair point, actually. Yeah, well, can't deny that it's certainly going to be a memorable Olympics, maybe down the road. At the moment, it doesn't seem like it's getting so much positive attention. And today we are going to also look at the Tokyo Olympics 2020 and give our own commentary on just kind of the things that we've been noticing and how things have been unfolding so far. Of course, this episode is being recorded before the Olympics have ended. So things, you know, who knows what will happen between recording and release date. But coming from you guys from the past, I guess. Well, hi, Cooks.
Hey, babe.
Hey.
You look nice. There's something different about you.
What do you think it could be?
I don't know. Maybe it's your hair.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
Probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
cut my hair. So you went through the big chop, huh?
Yeah, I cut off like 10 inches of my hair. My hair was so long. Mm. The longest it has been since I was 13. I used to have very long hair when I was 13. And then I cut it off about this short. And I donated all my hair. And then I cut all my hair off this morning too. Because I needed a change.
Well, I like it.
Okay, the judges are raising their scoreboards now to say how much they like my hair. As you can see, I'm not an Olympic broadcaster. I have no idea how sports casting works. And Mr. Cedric Skysetti is judging Becky's new haircut. We're looking on the scoreboard now. And it comes out to be
9.87.
Woo!
You know how they have those like super decimal,
mm-hmm. like it's like 9.87432000001. Well, that's pretty good for me. I'm gonna take home the gold today. Well, welcome to the podcast, and thanks for sticking out so far. Today we are going to talk about the Olympics, specifically the Olympics that are happening right now in Tokyo, Japan. But rather than actually talking about the sports or the games or the events themselves, I thought we could kind of dive into Tokyo's vision for the Olympic Games for this season. And their motto is diversity and harmony, which sounds great. Diversity and harmony. Tokyo is trying to present with all their presentations that they're doing for the Olympics this year. And what do you think about that motto?
I think it's nice, mm-hmm. on the surface. You know, I think it's well suited for the time that we're living in. But mm-hmm. then again, it seems that when you look back in history, it's always been necessary to have a motto like this to sort of, I guess, propel people's mindsets into, I don't know, how human beings should look at each other. But mm-hmm. I think it is just interesting. That they did choose this. It's just very interesting. And I'm just curious what the mindset was like when they mm-hmm. came up with that, why they chose that. And I guess we could speculate a little bit about that today.
Sure.
Yeah. But I mean, you and I, we caught the opening ceremony. What was it? Almost a week ago, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a week ago. And that was one of the things that we sort of noticed. Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't think there was anything on the screen that said diversity, harmony. This is sort of one of the visions. But we did notice, obviously, that, oh, they're showing a little bit of diversity here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was apparent, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I remember that when we were watching the opening ceremony and then we were watching the teams when they come on, like the parade. And the thing that stood out to us the most, I remember mm-hmm. us pointing this out,
yeah.
was the flag bearer for Japan's team.
Mm-hmm.
That really was striking. And we're going to get to all of this. But to the point where it was like, hang on, Japan, what are you trying to show here? You're showing a new face of Japan that we haven't seen before. And it does seem to have been more calculated than just a natural happenstance. But long story short, Japan's look is changing, right? Japan is not so much this homogenous nation that the governments have always tried to press out. We hear this narrative in Korea as well. This is something we talk about a lot on the podcast, but it became more and more apparent, especially with the athletes that Japan chose to represent them during the Olympics. And of course, most prominently, what probably most people remember, Osaka Naomi, or Naomi Osaka, she was the one who lit the Olympic torch. And that's a huge honor. And I was looking through all of the players in history who have lit the Olympic torch. And she's the only one that I could see who's apparently of mixed race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very openly acknowledged. So I found that to be very, very interesting. But she is not the only one who is mixed Japanese who is representing Japan for the Olympics this year. Even going down to the Olympic torch relay, some of the people who applied to be part of that relay specifically were drawn to apply because of this motto, diversity and harmony. And there was one girl, Miss Emiri Omuro. She is Japanese and she's also Black American. And she was drawn to this Olympic torch relay because of this motto, diversity and harmony. And I pulled out a quote that she had said when they interviewed her. Why did you want to be a torchbearer? And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically she was saying she has faced a lot of discrimination being mixed as she is. There are many differences within individuals, race, the color of their skin, sex, sexual orientation, language, religion, disability. There's no good that comes out of criticizing these differences. In fact, when I was criticized, I did not feel any happiness, joy, or delight. Feelings of pain, sorrow, bitterness, darkness was what dominated. I believe that this lovely and massive event known as the Olympics will be a great chance for people to deepen mutual understanding. Through giving courage and energy to others, I strongly hope that the world will slowly turn to one in which people can comprehend, understand, and accept one another. And I myself would like to overcome many things. And so I decided to challenge myself and run the torch relay. Which is a very beautiful statement. She's quite young. You can see her photo in this article. And she's very young to have such a poignant understanding of trying to fit in this world that's very, very colorful and nuanced.
Yeah. So I think that was pretty cool. I remember as we were watching.
The opening ceremony.
Yeah. And then it got to the point where they were doing the relay. And then it got to Naomi,
mm-hmm.
and then we were like, whoa, because yes. we were not expecting that.
Yeah.
So I think it did, at least for us, maybe because we're very much in this, you know.
We're hyper aware.
Yeah, very aware, and we're always talking about this, thinking about this. It did have a wow factor for us. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine for probably a handful of people watching too.
Yes.
Yeah, and other people probably like, can't tell the difference whether she's Japanese or not or like from wherever. Yeah. But yeah, so I think I do think that was cool.
It was very cool
to see, yeah.
You know, since you brought her up, I guess we can go down to mentioned some comments that were given about Osaka Naomi's position as the torch bearer.
Yeah, so the Australian, which is, if you didn't know, an Australian newspaper, if you couldn't guess it. So the Australian published a story by sports reporter Will Swanton,
mm-hmm.
and it was titled "Burning Issue: How Japanese Is Naomi Osaka?"
Yeah.
Now you can already kind of guess probably
where this is going.
Yeah, what kind of tone this article is trying to set. But mm-hmm. in it, Swanton claims that because Naomi Osaka is multicultural, multiracial, Japanese Haitian American woman with a wonderful mix of bloodlines in her veins, but the thing is, she left Japan when she was only 3 years old,
mm-hmm.
and she isn't Japanese enough to carry the Olympic torch for the Tokyo 2020 opening ceremony.
Yeah, isn't that funny how it is in quotes, multicultural, multiracial, with a wonderful mix of bloodlines, but she's not worthy to carry the torch. In a way, I feel like this is a great example. Oh, by the way, the reporter is white, and not connected to Japan in any way that I could tell. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting thing to see how this public commentary, which is made by media, people who carry some position of power in their niche, particularly we're talking about sports, and Naomi Osaka is a sportswoman, to make these open statements in a way that's kind of like, look, I don't want to put you down, but come on, guys, really? Gather with me. You all understand what I'm trying to say, right? Like, just look at her. And it's fascinating that people feel they have a right to make these public claims. Whether, I mean, honestly, to make these claims public or not. And it kind of puts you in a weird position. Like, how do you, what do you say to
it's
that?
It's like, what are you trying to accomplish by writing this article? Like, what kind of outcome are you seeking to have, you
right,
know?
Right. I mean, are you hoping Japan to be like, you are right, we should right. not have asked her, this brilliant tennis player.
Right.
You know, it doesn't really make any sense. And is it instead some person, Will Swanton in this case, their way of trying to show like, we believe in, you know, not this person representing this country. Like, it's weird to think, do you have a right to say that? But it is a very tough statement to combat, because it is true that, okay, so she didn't grow up in Japan, then what constitutes, it always comes down to this question, what constitutes as being enough to represent one nation or the other? Mm-hmm. And when you're on a platform such as the sports stage that Naomi Osaka is standing on, no wonder she's going to be asked that a lot in different degrees of friendliness. But yeah, it was something that came out, and no doubt the Olympics is going to be revealing a lot of things, which it has, not just in Tokyo, but let's come back to our country, Korea, and mm-hmm. Commentate on how Korea has handled the opening ceremony and the Olympics so far.
Oh, boy. So if you haven't heard already, mm-hmm. And, you know, let's throw out a disclaimer. Like, there are ignorances that everyone has about different things and different people, sure. right? But you would think that you would, on a, I don't know, for the Olympic Games, before broadcasting anything, you would do some fact checking and just like check with your team. Like, hey, is this cool to actually broadcast? But like, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, so one of the networks here in Korea, one of the big networks that actually broadcasted the mm-hmm. Olympic Games and the opening ceremony, they actually, so as different countries were coming out, they, I guess, thought it was cute to associate those countries with certain pictures and mm-hmm. images that they felt like represented the country. For example, you know, I don't know what they did for America, but it would be like when America comes out and they would show, I don't know, a picture of a hot dog or something. So they did this with different countries. And I would imagine not all of them were inaccurate per se, but it is an overgeneralization mm-hmm. or stereotype, mm-hmm. I think, of
or
these countries and cultures.
A purposely negative portrayal.
Yes, yes. And that's a deeper level conversation that mm-hmm. we have to have, because it wasn't just, oh, it's a mistake, or, oh, I didn't fact check this. It was like, no, you're being a jerk mm-hmm. by doing this mm-hmm. or putting this image with this country.
I want to give some example of just the spectrum from ludicrous to harmful mm-hmm. that was being portrayed by this broadcast. For example, you would have Italy when the Italian team came out, woo, and then they were mentioning Italian pizza and putting image of an Italian pizza,
that's
which
nice
on one hand
harmless, right?
is not right. It's not a negative stereotype, and it is true that yeah. pizza originated in Italy. So it's like, okay, so at the worst, you guys just went very shallow level, and instead of celebrating this very culturally rich country and their important contributions that they have made worldwide through history, you decided to land on pizza, which, okay, not harmful per se.
Cute.
But then we come over to, let's say, Syria, and instead of talking about the people or the efforts or the triumphs, whatever that they could bring out about this country, they just mention, oh, they are just locked in civil war.
Right.
This very negative portrayal of a country that is much, much bigger than, say, a current event.
Right.
No, even as a big thing. Or Ukraine, Chernobyl. Why, of all things, this is what you would pick? So at the very, let's consider, at the lowest level of ignorance, it was just they genuinely didn't know. Or at the very worst, is this what the education system in Korea is promoting?
Mm.
Is saying, it is absolutely okay to portray your anti-globalist ignorance at an international stage.
Right.
At the harm of other countries and other people. And I, again, we have to ask that question, what were you hoping to accomplish in this? And did you have nobody on the team at all who would be like, maybe we shouldn't use Dracula for Romania? Like, right. Was there nobody who thought about that?
Right. And, you know, I would imagine that, just giving the benefit of the doubt, mm-hmm. who knows? But I would imagine that whoever was part of doing that, or whoever's idea it was, or whoever found the images or pictures, I would imagine that they probably didn't think that there would be any backlash. Mm-hmm. But it's not okay. It's not a justification for that. It's just like, you have to do better, especially in a scenario like this where mm-hmm. everyone around the world's watching.
Yes.
You know, and Korean people are not the only ones watching the Korean TV. It's mm-hmm. all the foreigners in Korea mm-hmm. trying to watch the Olympics like us. We were trying to find the Olympics on other like US channels, and we couldn't from Korea. Yes. We were struggling.
Yes.
But yeah, so we had to watch Korean channels. So yeah, needless to say, that backfired very quickly.
It absolutely did. And you know, yeah. there's still many people, like the Reddits are going crazy over this. Yeah, so you know, without taking offense, at the very least you could say, wow, that was really ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I want to put into some perspective for perhaps our Korean listeners who are just like, yeah, what's wrong with using pizza to represent Italy? I would like you to think, can you imagine the whole world, all of these countries, everybody watching, and when Korea is finally represented and they have their one sliver of time where all attention is put on you, and the broadcasters say, ah, South Korea team comes out. Yes, they lost many students in a Sewol incident some years ago.
Right.
Now moving on to our next country. Like, right. Can you imagine that this is what remains in people's minds now about right. South Korea?
Right. Or even if you take it even lighter than that, you have an image of kimchi. Mm-hmm. Like, Korea is going to be like, one, it's a normal part of life. Yeah, it is representative of Korean culture, especially for people on the outside. But it's mm-hmm. like, really, you chose that to represent us? Or that's an right. image of someone like who got plastic surgery or something like that. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's exactly what this network did mm-hmm. to a lot of the countries. And I think it's well-deserved to be called out, for sure.
Well, yeah, it's inevitable. Yeah. To further on, just to really, really nail home how important it is what... Let me say this again, because this does tie into our whole topic overall, playing the PR game, mm-hmm. which unfortunately is not always honest.
Right.
But at least, hey, should have played the PR game well, broadcast station. For example, I think what I'm trying to say is that what these countries are trying to put out on the international stage, the thing that they want to be proud of, the thing that they want to show, sometimes is more of a veneer than what is actually inside and sincerely in them.
Yeah.
So as we were watching the opening ceremony, we saw another individual who really caught our eyes, not only because he is very tall, mm-hmm. which he is, and he was being the flag bearer for the Japanese team, which is also true, but because he was mixed. And it was quite apparent to us. And we had never seen him before, but we saw him just walking, very tall, holding the flag, which is a great honor. And it was very interesting to note, and both of us were, again, taken aback. This is Rui Hachimura, and he was born and raised in Japan. He's a basketball player. He's the son of a Japanese mother and a father from Benin, which is a country in West Africa. And it's very interesting to see he is now the flag bearer at 23 years of age. But he had mentioned in an interview that growing up, so many children made fun of him and said, you're black, go away. And, you know, he also faced this discrimination. It's interesting how oftentimes these mixed race players win respect, not because of just who they are, because they are due that respect, but because they have to prove it somehow. And it seems to be pretty apparent that it's sometimes through sports. Like, if I can beat you here, then you can't say anything against me. I win respect this way, as opposed to just my humanness.
Yeah. You know, I find it funny, given what he said, because obviously he had a lot of issues regarding his appearance, you know, mm-hmm. growing up and being made fun of and people pointing that out. But I find it kind of funny. And it sounds like I'm sort of... focusing on the negative, I'm not. I'm just trying to be objective mm-hmm. and just sort of stating the reality. But it's funny how he has chosen to bear the flag as if like, look, we are diverse. We may not have a lot of diversity, but we, you know, we've got some, and then they have the spotlight right now.
Yes.
And they're able to represent us in this moment in time, in this, you know, ceremony. But the reality is, behind the scenes, he is generally just not looked at 100% the same as the country or the people he's, you know, chosen to represent.
Yes.
And that's reflective of his whole childhood and how he grew up. And so it's almost kind of like, at least in my mind, it's almost like, and I'm not pointing fingers here, but it's like the country saying, look, there's really no issue. Like, we're all together. We're that's all right. harmonized. But it's like, but really, that's not the case.
Right.
I think it was cool that he was chosen to represent. I think it's a good step in the right direction. But what I'm saying is that can be very deceptive in the fact that people could receive it as, oh, they are diverse, or there are no issues amongst mixed race people who are growing up in that culture, when in fact there is. So there's still a problem, and it's sort of like just cleaning up, polishing the surface, but the inside is just so dirty and just messed up, and you got to focus on what's inside, you know, not just what's on the outside.
That's exactly what I said earlier in my very convoluted statement. People probably didn't quite get, but that's what I meant by this veneer.
Yeah, yeah.
This, you know, this beautiful polished image on the outside that we want to present to the world, but it's a very simple way to express what you want people to see about you without actually resolving issues that might be happening behind the scenes.
Sure.
And, you know, so for example, in this, the Japanese Olympic team this year, 35 members of the 583 members are multiracial, and they're considered medal contenders for tennis, as we know, judo, boxing, sailing, sprinting, rugby, fencing, and other sports. And so it's so cool. Like, yes, we're representing. Yes, we're showing off our diversity. Yes, diversity and harmony is one of our mottos, which is wonderful, but you will see behind all of these beautiful stories that are put on the international stage is that many of them suffered so much discrimination. Many still today are not considered as Japanese, as we saw with Naomi Osaka and that statement made about her. Many people who are, while they're out playing and representing their team and their country, people are making horrible comments online, you know, disparaging their race.
Right.
So why is this happening simultaneously? It's just a weird clashing that is existing and becoming more apparent.
Yeah. I mean, if I can offer my opinion, as I seem to be offering a lot of my opinions throughout this podcast.
This is our commentary.
Right. I just made the statement that I think it's a positive step in the right direction to choose, say, someone who is legitimately like you're half Japanese, half, you know, whatever else, and you are representing the country. I think it's a positive step in the right direction, but I must tag on to that. If you are one ready to admit and accept the reality of the fact that it's really not reflective of what goes on, you know, in these mixed people's lives, but also two, that you're willing to say, you know what, we do have an issue and let's work on it. Let's really try to move this thing forward and really try to change the narrative and just people's perspective, which will take time. So I think it's a great step in the right direction if there is change that follows. If there's no change that follows, then it's all a show and it's fake and I'm not down with it.
There's a fear that I have as time passes that... So we it seems to be like we're on this edge between... Before this open acknowledgement of mixed race, where it was like, you guys don't exist, we pretend you don't exist, or we try to get you out of here so you're not one of us, so alien, go over there, right? Or trying so hard to be Korean or Japanese, I'm 100%, 100%, 100%, when they're simultaneously pushing you away. Now to this opposite side where some people are saying like, the whole world is being mixed anyway, so why do you even talk about mixed race? There's no such thing as, you know, this, half that. So who cares, right? We're all mixed. We're just giant melting pot. Then I feel like it is dangerous on both ends, because in the first case, you are denying an aspect of you that is very, very valuable and real. And then on the other side, you are simply trying to blend it all together. Like all your colors that make up who you are, they just kind of mash it all together to be like, whatever, we don't see those colors anyway. But the problem is not having different colors. The problem is not being loved and accepted for your different colors. So it's not about erasing the different colors or blending you all in to fit with this color or that color, but it's simply about embracing and accepting and openly acknowledging your different colors.
Yeah.
Now, when I see here what's going on with the Olympics, this representation, yes, we love it. You are Japanese. You are a Japanese player. But without openly saying, but they have this mixed race and they have this backstory and they have their difficulties and they have their struggles. And we as a country have things that we need to acknowledge and work on and fix. We have to be careful to hold our countries and ourselves accountable to not fall into one or the other of those two spectrums, right? I mentioned.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, there is a middle ground, you know, and I think it's a matter of just respect and understanding and acceptance. Mm-hmm.
So while we are glad to see these countries and sporting events celebrating mixed race athletes, we find that a lot of times, maybe not so much in English content, but perhaps in Korean content or Japanese content, many of these accomplishments or descriptions of these athletes are sort of minimized down into language that might be bordering on eugenics, right? Celebrating their DNA, right? We hear it on a surface level a lot of times, where people very commonly say like, oh, mixed Koreans are so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Which again is like, well, it's not a bad statement, thank you, but it's also not a true statement. But it's kind of putting down into just this whole spectrum and complexity of what it means to be mixed, and just shrinks it down to this mm-hmm. physical aspect that is just broken down into your genes and hereditary.
Right.
And it is seen similarly with athletes, you know, oh, they have this, able to have bigger muscles, they're able to be taller, oh, they're so fast, they've got this physical raw power, right? And it's kind of, you're kind of broken down into a description of the machinery of you as opposed to you. Our mixed people, or hafu in Japan, they are some kind of genetic lottery win. Is that really what you are? And that's why you see in Japan a lot of times in pop culture, people who are primarily Black Japanese are considered as either athletes, maybe beauty queen, or rappers. These are the three places where it's acceptable to be Black Japanese in the society.
But it's similar to the States in many ways.
True.
Athlete, rapper for Black people. Yeah.
It's very, very true. Yeah. It's just this narrow concept of what it means to be Japanese or half Japanese, Black Japanese, right? Where it's acceptable mm-hmm. to see you for your race, but you're still fit into these narrow categories. So we can see that maybe through Tokyo Olympics 2020, Japan is trying to move forward, trying to celebrate these athletes, champion mixed race and diversity. It's wonderful, but it can smack of hypocrisy. Like we mentioned before, here they are on celebrated for the athleticism, when behind the scenes facing racism on the daily, when they are being the representation of their country, when once the games are over, no one will see them as Japanese. Again, those are powerful statements that I am making right now, may or may not be true in full, but this still comes down to the question of, are you Japanese enough to represent Japan? Are you Korean enough to represent Korea? How much is enough to be worthy of bearing the Olympic torch? So discrimination is widespread, of course, but we hope, you know, maybe these athletes coming out, showing, being seen on the media, even in thus small ways, this diversity will be hard to ignore. It's impossible to ignore now. Now it's a matter of catching up with this diversity that's already existing.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, how are then we going to take this new narratives, and how are we going to accept them? Are we going to accept them? And what is the next generation going to be like? Is it going to be continuing discrimination, or are we going to learn from this and become a more diverse and harmonious country?
Right.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. I don't know where you want to go from there, but
I think we can leave it there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of statistics about Japan, because Japan is not my main focus. It's not our main focus. but I thought it would be a good time to touch on this topic. And whether or not you're Japanese, I believe that if you're mixed race, you've probably experienced this in some form or the other, if your country is also a bit closed off to mixed race, whatever that might look like there. But we're going to leave it here. However, in the meanwhile, I hope that you guys are enjoying the games. I want to catch up and watch gymnastics. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, we need to get our VPN going.
I know. So we
can catch some other games. Because right now in Korea, all they're showing are like
the Korean athletes.
Yeah, the Korean athletes.
Yeah.
Which is understandable, I guess. But mm-hmm. It'd be nice to be able to see what's going on everywhere.
Yeah, I want to watch everything. Well, we're going to wrap up the episode here. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're watching on YouTube, you can leave a comment below on your own thoughts. Or if you just want to talk about the Olympics, you can leave comments there as well. You can leave comments there as well. If you have something else that you'd like to add in an email, you can send it our way at thehaffyproject@gmail.com, and make sure to subscribe to this podcast anywhere you're listening to podcasts. Thanks for listening. We are The Haffy Project.